Okay. Shalom, Menachem Shrader here. I want to thank Eliana and Rav Yossi Eisen for arranging for this conference call. I have prepared something to talk about Rosh Hashanah regarding Malchus Chronos and Shofros, but I understand that there are questions relating to Fuzbol that some people want to ask. If I'm able to answer them, I'll try to answer them. If not, I'll try to look them up and get an answer back to you as soon as possible. If anyone now would like to ask a question about Fuzbol or about Rosh Hashanah, please do.
This is Yossi. Just in general, some questions I saw mentioned were, how should we, are we responsible for helping students to handle Fuzbol, and if so, how should we go about doing that?
You're certainly responsible for helping students do Fuzbol. The way it should be done is that you should get a nusach of Fuzbol. If the students understand it in Hebrew, and even if they don't, it's good in Hebrew. But it's good if students don't understand it, they should get an English nusach of Fuzbol. If it's desired that I should send out a nusach of Fuzbol, I will. But I will only be taking a generally accepted nusach. It's not a special secret nusach that I have developed or anything like that. And have the person be most of the Fuzbol and signed by the dayanim. And you should have three dayanim. The dayan should be the male Torah educator and two students who have some understanding of what Fuzbol could be. If you can bring in two other Talmidei Chachamim, that would be even better. But if not, then you just do it with two other students. This is the Pesach of the Ramban. This is how we hold. You should explain to the students that Shemitah is Meshameh the Cholos, and that by being Moser the Fuzbol to the Bezdin, by writing the Fuzbol, and holding on to the Fuzbol, I should say, they have officially stated that they have been that they have transmitted all the Cholos to the Bezdin. And as a result of doing as such, it were as if the cholos have been collected already, and therefore there's no Yisr Negisa. That's it in a nutshell. And it should be done. You should certainly help students do this. It would be good if sometime over Shabbos this could be properly explained, so they understand what they're doing. And then Sunday, together with Hataras Nedarim, you do it. If there are students who you know will not be around Sunday to do it, and they're willing to do it sometime this week, then you should certainly do it sometime this week. Get it done when it can be gotten done, whenever you know that to be the case. If there's any other questions, please ask.
Is it Fuzbol necessary for owing of wages or only for a loan?
Fuzbol is only necessary for a loan. If there are wages that are owed, the Shemitah is not Meshamet.
Can it be done at night?
I don't recall there being a problem with Fuzbol being done at night.
Who can be a part of the Beit Din? Is it only a person who is observant completely, or even a little bit, or what a status of the person need to be part of the Beit Din?
The person should be committed to being observant. If they're not committed to being observant, I think it's a problem. But if they're committed to being observant and somehow they mess up, I think it's okay. Did I answer your question, Shlomo?
Yes.
Good.
Also, it can only be men and, let's say, not relatives or something, right?
Men, right. Men and not relatives, that's right.
Thank you.
Any other questions about first of all?
Just to clarify, so my understanding is that people have to own land. There has to be some sort of land that this can be done against as a lien. Is that...
Yes, the halacha is that in order... the lover has to own land in order for the prisal to be tofet. The minhag Yisrael is to be somech on the assumption that the lover does have land, and that if not, then he has a kinyan da'al amos in Eretz Yisrael. So we do the puzbol without investigating as to whether the lover really does have land or doesn't have land.
So just to follow up on that, my understanding is that when Mechiras Chametz comes up, so I often encourage the students to sell, even though they say, oh, I may not have Chametz, because maybe they do. Is it the case here that this would be valuable to encourage students, like all the students, to sign it, also because it will strengthen their feelings of feeling connected to Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, you should certainly encourage all the students to do it. It's not harmful in any way, even if nobody owes them any money. It's frequently the case that people do owe someone money and they don't realize that someone owes them money in some sort of convoluted way, and therefore it's a good thing for everyone to do.
Is there any way for people to actually purchase land between now and then in a way where it would guarantee that they own land? Or is that completely unnecessary?
I suspect that the purchase of the land that could be done in this context would be no more meaningful than the land that they already theoretically own in the Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael. I wouldn't try doing that. I mean, no one's going to get any land that they buy between now and then marked in the tabu, right? So,
right.
I think it's worth just just doing it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions about Prisbal? Okay. Any other questions about Rosh Hashanah right now? Okay.
To Tkiyas Shofar, is there a... In our situation, there's not going to be, it looks like, an Orthodox minyan at the Hillel this year, but there's going to be Conservative and Reform, and they have requested shofar blowing. Is there any problem blowing shofar for a Reform and Conservative minyan? And assuming no, is there a mila in getting those two groups to come together for Tkiyas Shofar for Berovam Hadras Melech?
This is Yeshua David talking, right?
Yes.
Look, there is a problem blowing shofar in the service. Without a shadow of a doubt, there is a problem. And Rav Soloveitchik is known to have spoken about this. That being the case, though, I'm going to suggest the following. Tell me if this makes sense in your context. If it doesn't, we'll talk about it afterwards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
there should be a some sort of time when everyone's going to blow shofar together. And that time will be not within the context of the service. In other words, people will come out of their area, go into some other bigger room, where and shofar will be blown for them at that time. And then they can go back in and daven whatever they do there. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, we should talk about it tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
Okay, any other questions about Rosh Hashanah? Okay. So I'm going to talk about two things which would appear to be unrelated, but I hope to show that they're actually very related to each other, although that's not the point. It's just that they are related to each other. And in introducing those topics, I'm going to ask a question about each one of them, and then I'm going to make the point, and I'll try to explain myself, and hopefully things will clear up as a result. The two things I'd like to talk about are, number one, that Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot, the three brachot that we say in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, are transformational brachot. What I mean when I say that is that the meaning of the bracha, of the ideas of the bracha, of Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot, changes within the context of the saying of the bracha. And it seems to be intended to be that case, that way. And it seems to be, it's not an accident that it happens by all three of these brachot. It seems to be the intent of the Masadri HaTfilah that that be the case. That's one thing. The second thing we're going to talk about is related to shofar. And that is that there are apparently two aspects to the mitzvah of shofar. One is very famous and well known. That is as mitzvah to hear the shofar. And the second is that rather than as being the mitzvah for us to hear the shofar, it is a mitzvah for us to express ourselves to Hashem through the blowing of the shofar, which we participate in via the hearing, but actually when we're doing that, we're blowing. It were as if we were blowing. So that the shofar has this paradox and dialectic in that it's both something we're expected to hear and it's also something we're expected to express ourselves through. The I'm going to ask a question about each of these things in order to introduce the notion that we're going to explain, and then I'm going to explain it. Here's the first question. The first question is about Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. The question is, we know that there is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfot, with most of the Rishonim holding like Tosfot, whether Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot are Adoraita or Derabbanan. According to Rashi, they're Minat Torah. It's Mashron Rashi and Chumash. And Rashi in the Ferish of the Gemara seems to follow that approach as well. Tosfot holds that Malchiyot and Shofrot are only the Rabbanan, and that's the opinion of the Ramban too. But according to Rashi, that the mitzvah is of Torah nature, is of Torah obligation. Why isn't it enough to just read the psukim, just like we do by Kriyat Shema, or by Hallel, or by the mitzvah of Zechirat Amalek? Why do the psukim get put into the Shmona Esrei as part of tefillah? If there's a mitzvah to read the psukim, so we'll just read the psukim, and that's all. Why do they get put into a context of bracha and tefillah? That's a question about Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. The second question. As we know from the Rambam and also from the Nusach of the Bracha of Tkiyat Shofar, that Shofar is a mitzvah to hear rather than a mitzvah to blow. Check it, Shana mitzvotah b'tzivanu, l'shmoa kol Shofar. That being the case, why is it necessary to have the tokea have kavana to be motzi us? When someone has to have kavana to be motzi us, it's because what they're doing is they're doing for us, and we're as if we were doing it, as in Shomei Kohanet, like when someone makes Kiddush for us, or someone reads the Megillah for us, someone makes a bracha for us. So they have to have kavana lahotzi, and we have to have kavana to be yotze. But if the mitzvah is to hear, we don't need the tokea to help us hear. We need him to blow so that there's something to hear. But in terms of the performance of the mitzvah, we are performing the mitzvah ourselves by listening. So why does he have to have kavana lahotzi? He's not being motzi us, we're being motzi ourselves by listening. Why is there a need for kavana lahotzi? Okay, please put those two questions aside. And I'm going to try to talk now about the notion of Malchus Zichron and Shofrot and explain what we were trying to explain before. I'm going to start by talking about Zichronos, the middle bracha. The beginning of the bracha of Zichronos has Zichronos meaning that Hashem remembers everything that ever took place, certainly all of our actions, and as a result of remembering our actions, He remembers the good things we did and He remembers the bad things we did. And the Mishpat of Rosh Hashanah is a judgment based on an evaluation of the quality and the quantity of the good and bad things we did, and that goes for every individual, and that goes for every city, and every nation, and every unit, and everyone is subject to the Mishpat of Rosh Hashanah, which can take place because Hashem remembers and counts everything that we did over the course of the year. And this is what why Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaZikaron, because Hashem remembers everything that we did, and we get judged on that basis. And within the context of the basic, certainly the Kriyat Shmona Esrei that we say on Rosh Hashanah of Moses, certainly the introductory paragraph of Zichronos is an extremely fearful bracha. It's meant to scare the daylights out of us. And if we're thinking about it, I think it does. And it goes on for a few lines like that. And the Nusach also is appropriately accordingly. Then when we're about to start quoting the Psukim, the Tem Psukim, everything changes. The Psukim, all of them, do not relate to the fact that Hashem remembers everything that ever happened. The Psukim all relate to the fact that Hashem remembers that He wants to do something good for us, that He wants to redeem us. He remembers the Brit. He remembers the Brit with Noah. That's the first pasuk. And He remembers the Brit of with the Avos, to redeem the Jews of Mitzrayim. And each and every one of the psukim, as you go through, is basically a recollection of Hashem, a remembering of Hashem, that He's going to do something good for us. Almost all of them also have the phrase, Zechirat Brit, in them, the remembering of the covenant. And there is one pasuk which seems to be missing that, but it's also passive. Zechor Afal Neflotav, Hanun V'Rachum Hashem. So the pasuk mentions that Hashem sets up a memorial for His miracles, and He is merciful for us. But, you know, there are questions of what that pasuk should be. And actually, Rav Soloveitchik, even in that pasuk, says an additional pasuk, puts that pasuk together with the next one, which it's adjacent to, and adds the pasuk, Zachar le'olam b'riso, d'var tzivah la'oftar. So according to the Rav, certainly every pasuk has a remembrance of the Brit. And and certainly almost all of them do in any case, and all of them are positive in any case. So you have the introduction to the Zichronos, being very fearful, being very frightening, with Zichronos meaning Hashem remembers all of world history and everything that ever happened and everything that we did, and we are going to be held responsible for everything we did because He remembers and don't think we're going to get away with anything. And then when the psukim come in, suddenly everything is good. Suddenly Hashem is zocher abris, He is zocher to save Noach, He is zocher to redeem the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. He'll remember us, Haben Yaakov Ephraim, Yerushalayim, Ki Midirar V'Zochor Eskerenu Ol, Ken Homam Le'ayla, Rachem Rachamenu Nam Hashem, everything is good. What's really happening? The whole of Zichronos moves from a focus on the Zichronos of Hashem in a fearful way for us, said remembering everything we did wrong and good also, but you know we're afraid especially of what we did wrong, and it completely distracts from that Zichronos and replaces it with a different Zichronos. It transforms Zichronos from the Zichronos of what we did, of our ma'asim, to the Zichronos of Hashem's bris with us, of Hashem's commitment to us, of Hashem's love for us. And all of the psukim are that way, down to the last one. And the last phrase, right before the chasima of the bracha, seems to represent both of these notions. First, I'll read it to you. First, the first part of the bracha, it says, "Ki zocher ko anish kachos atovu mi'olam ve'en shechecha lefnei chisech vodecha." That brings us back to the beginning of the bracha. But then it says, "Va'kedas yitzchak lezaro hayom b'rachamim tizkar," which is the bulk of the bracha with the psukim. And then the final chasima says only one thing, Baruch Ata Hashem, Zocher HaBris. So in the final chasima of the bracha, only Zikiras HaBris is mentioned. No, the other Zichronos has disappeared. So the bracha of Zichronos is a transformation of Zichronos from the remembrance of all the ma'asim that we did to the Zichronos of the bris and the Abba that Hashem has for us. There's a transformation of the Zichronos that takes place. This was explained by Rabbi Lichtenstein Zatzal many, many years ago. When I started looking at the other brachos, I realized that it's not only Zichronos which is transformational this way, but Malchus is as well. And here we have to understand what's happening. You know, we say Malchios every day. In fact, not just every day, but three times a day. Shacharis Mincha Meir of all end with Olenu. And Olenu and Alkei Nekaveh are Malchios, right? It's clearly lifted from the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. But think of the difference between these two paragraphs. The first paragraph, Olenu itself, followed by the second paragraph, Alkei Nekaveh. You all know Olenu by heart. But basically, the first paragraph of Olenu is a statement of fact to the Yotzer Bereshit that He made us differently than everyone else and didn't put our chelek with the rest of them. They bow down to naught. We bow down to Melech Malchei Melachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who created the heavens and the earth, who sits in Shamayim, and who rules over everything. The Malchus, as described in Olenu, in the paragraph of Olenu, is a steady state Malchus. It's like the Malchus described at the beginning of Adon Olam. Adon Olam Hashem Alach, B'terem Kol Yitzin Nivra. Hashem is the king before anything is created. Le'es Nasa B'chev Sokol, everything is done by his will. Azai Melech Shemo Nikra, and he is called king. He'll be king when there's nothing left also. In other words, Hashem's Malchus is above and beyond everything. Hashem is Melech Machem Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu by existing, by his creation. Nothing else has to be done. And Aleinu ends with a pasuk which the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says explicitly could be used as one of the psukim of Malchiyot. So there's none other than him, as says the Torah, "V'data Yom Hashivasa El Levavecha, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim B'Shemayim Mimal V'Laaretz Mitachas Ein Od." There's no one but Hashem. Hashem Hu Elokim, and that even though the word Melech is missing from this bracha, since the idea implicit in this pasuk is that the idea of Malchus Hashem is the only one, he is above and beyond everything, and so this is also a pasuk of Malchus. Then we have the paragraph of Al-Kanikata. What's the paragraph of Al-Kanikata? Al-Kanikata is a tefillah. Al-Kanikata v'chashem 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 We're asking that Hashem express his Malchios. That Hashem not merely be Melech, not merely have the Melucha, not merely have the potential to do whatever he wants. But we're asking that he take that potential and activate it and make the world aware of his existence and his rule, and get rid of the idols, and fix up the world, the Malchut Shakai, which, by the way, is the Tikkun Olam. Malchut Shakai means to get rid of Avodah Zarah. That's what it says in the Aleinu. And that all the flesh will call out in Hashem's name and will worship Hashem and bow down to Hashem. And we will Mekabel O Malchut Shamayim of Hashem. In other words, the Malchiyot of Alkein Nekada. It's not a steady state Malchiyot. It's an active Malchiyot. It's a Malchiyot in which Hashem demands and fulfills and makes felt his presence throughout the world in a way in which idolatry and all ki'ilu, competing notions, fall apart. And ki ha-malchut shalchai yilu me'ad timloch b'chavod. You will reign with dignity, and not merely sitting somewhere and being ignored. Kakatuba Taratecha, Hashem Yimloch Leolam Va'ed, which all the Mefarshim in Az Yashir, where that pasuk appears, understand as a tefillah and as a prediction, something that's going to happen in the future. Yimloch is a future tense. It's something which is not yet being expressed, at least not yet properly. So there's a tremendous difference between the Malchus of Aleinu and the Malchus of Al-Kanikata. The Malchus of Aleinu is a steady-state implicit Malchus. It's Hashem's being is an automatic Malchus. The Malchus of Al-Kanikata is a request that Hashem take the implicit Malchios and make it explicit and rule and demand and express his existence in such a way so that all the ki'ilu competitions will fall apart. And if you look through the psukim of Malchios, once again you'll see that each and every one of them talks about the expression of Malchios and not merely a passive, steady state Malchus that sits back and reigns secretly, so to speak. And the final tefillah of the Bracha of Malchios is Elokeinu Melokei Avoteinu Melocha Kol Olam Kol B'Chavdecha. Reign. You know, what do you mean, reign? Hashem, he's already a king. What do you mean, he has to reign? Yes, he has to reign. V'naseh Kol HaSekarecha. V'yada Kol Kol Olkei Atafarato. Let the people understand it. V'yadim Kol Yitzurki Atay Yitzarto. Let them know, let them understand. V'yomar Kol Hashem Hashem Avyapo. Let them express it. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Machutzaba Kol Mashallah. So the Bracha of Malchios is also transformational. We're asking Hashem to take the Malchus of potential and to bring it into the Malchus of reality of actuality. And it's a tefillah. It's a tefillah. And it's a change. And it's very striking that the end of Aleinu, of the paragraph of Aleinu, is a pasuk which we're allowed to use for Malchios. V'yadat hayom ha-shevosa el vavecha. But we don't use it. The 10 psukim of Malchios can be counted only for Malkei Nekave. I mean, I don't know about Kut, but there are 10 psukim for Malkei Nekave. And those are the 10 psukim. Even the last pasuk, which you may say is a steady state pasuk, which is the great pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it would appear that the meaning of that pasuk is as Rashi interprets it, and the Ramban also, in their Perush to Chumash, which is that Hashem, who is meanwhile only Elokeinu, the Jewish people, will be Hashem Echad in a recognizable way throughout the whole world. So that the pasuk of Shema Yisrael itself incorporates within it the transformation from Hashem being Melech secretly, in a more private way, to Hashem being Melech in a very open, explicit, and powerful and noticeable way. So the bracha of Malchus is also a tefillah. Again, a tefillah to move from the Malchus of potential to the Malchus of actuality. Shofros is a little bit more complicated, but it's transformational as well. The thing is that with Shofar, the transformation doesn't take place before the Psukim. In both Malchus and Zichronos, as we just explained, the transformation takes place from the introduction, from the early introduction, to the Psukim. The Psukim already are its tefillah towards that transformation. In Shofros, it's different. Once again, in Shofros, we start out with the Jewish people being passive, a little bit like Malchus. Like Hashem's passive Malchus, here the Jewish people are passive in that what they're supposed to be doing is to be listening to the Shofar, which is a mitzvah of Shofar, right? The Shema Kol Shofar. The first three psukim is that the Jewish people listen to Kabbalah Satorah. There's the Kol HaShofar that precedes Kabbalah Satorah. There's a Kol HaShofar that's during Kabbalah Satorah. There's a description of it happening after Kabbalah Satorah. So the Jewish people are listening to the Shofar. And of course, it would appear that Tukei is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And the final of the three psukim ends with Vayara'am, Vayanu, Vayamdu Merachok. The sound of the Shofar is frightening. The people move. They distance themselves as a result of the hearing the tremendous blast of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself blowing the Shofar. That's the Shofar of the Psukim of the Torah. Then comes the Psukim from Tehillim. The Psukim from Tehillim seem to be Psukim of Shevach to Hashem. In other words, when I say Psukim of Shevach, I mean in which the Shofar is praising of God. It announces his arrival. It announces the Chag of Rosh Hashanah, Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar, but Kesli Yom Chageinu. It is a Shevach of Halleluhu V'Seka Shofar, Halleluhu V'Nevel B'Chinar. the Allah will come b'tzura Hashem, because shofar, again, it's announcing the Shekhinah, the presence of the Shekhinah. The focus of but again, we're listening. Even if we're blowing so that we should hear the Shevach of Hashem and the announcement. It's like the Havdol of after Havdolim. In Malchus Basav Adam, you all know that the trumpets blow when the monarch, when the sovereign is about to arrive. And this is the notion of Kol Shofar here too. Even if we're blowing it, but we're blowing it so we should hear that Hashem has arrived. The psukim from the Nevi'im are much more alarming, but still we are listening to the Kol HaShofar. In the second of them, which is sort of a little different than the first and the last, it's clearly the shofar of the Geula, which again it says, it doesn't say who's blowing it. We'll find out later who's blowing it, but it says, Vayava yom ahu yitakav shofar gadol, uvoho avdim b'eretz ashur v'anilichim b'eretz ashurim shtachavu l'ashem b'arakodesh b'Yerushalayim. It's the shofar of Kibbutz Golis. It's kav shofar gadol l'chei roseinu, which we're going to be misfal for at the end of this bracha, and which we misfal for in every Shemona Esrei. So if it says yitakav, apparently the tokeh is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the Esker Hashem, yitakav b'shofar. But it's within the context of mobilization. The shofar blows and everyone is mobilized to come to Har Hashem, Har HaKodesh B'Yerushalayim. Same thing in the first pasuk and in the last pasuk. There are psukim that indicate that the Tekiyas shofar is meant to gather the people together. So even if we're blowing it, in the first and last, it says Hashem Elokim b'Shofar Yitka v'Alach b'Sarot Teman. But still, the point is that it's within the context of a battle cry, and that's how we hear it. There's no transformation. There's a lot of different kinds of shofar here. The shofar of Kabbalah Satorah, the shofar of Shevach Hashem, the shofar of mobilization. Then comes the last paragraph, and you know, there's only been 9 psukim so far. And we say, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Tkav shofar gadol l'chei roseinu, reference to the middle of the 3 psukim of the Nevi'im, V'sonei sekabetz kol yoseinu, same pasuk, V'karei b'sureinu v'enogim l'futzosen kanez me'akasei haaretz, again, good. Still good. And then listen to this 10th pasuk. This 10th pasuk, of course, causes a lot of problems, because it never says shofar in the pasuk. And it never says true on the pasuk. But it seems to be the 10th pasuk anyways. What's the purpose of the tkiya in this last pasuk here? Who's blowing over here? It's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu blowing at us, not even one of us blowing at ourselves. Here, we are blowing shofar to Hashem, or chatzotzros, but we're blowing to Hashem, because it says, Vayulachem zikaron lifnei Elokechem. Ani Hashem Elokechem. The tkiya of this last pasuk is a tfila. It's different than the previous 9 psukim. And here's where the transformation has taken place once again. All the psukim until now, we were subjected to the shofar. Here in this last paragraph, suddenly we're not being subjected to the shofar. We're subjecting Hashem to our shofar. We're calling out to Hashem. We want the sound of the tkiya to be Vayu lachem zikaron lifnei Elokechem. Ani Hashem Elokechem. Hashem should hear us. And listen to this remaining phrase. Ki ata shomea kol shofar. You hear the shofar, Hashem. Umazin trua. You listen to the trua. Vein domelach. Baruch atah Hashem. Shomea kol churas amo Yisrael berachamim. Wow, what happened to our blowing the shofar? It got lost. It doesn't appear in the chasima at all. In the chasima of the bracha of shofaros, Hashem's not blowing the shofar at us. We're not listening to the shofar. No, Hashem is listening to the shofar. Hashem is shomea kol churas amo Yisrael berachamim. He listens to the trua, and he has rachmanis for us because it's a tefila, because the trua is a tefila, because the shofar is a tefila. And yet, we seem to have to take in a lot before we succeed in transforming the shofar from being something we're supposed to be listening to something we're supposed to be blowing to Hashem. But apparently this is part of the mitzvah as well. And this is the simplest way of understanding the halacha that you need kavanah lahotzi. Because shofar is not only a mitzvah of shmia, even if that's the bracha that we make. Through being shomea kol shofar, we internalize that tkia and trua and send it back to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a tefillah. And therefore we have to be yotzei. We have to be yotzei that tefillah. The way we have to be yotzei when we listen to the Chazan davening Shmoneh Esrei for us. Making Kiddush for us. Whatever they're doing for us. Reading the Megillah to us. We have to participate in the tkiah and the trua that we're sending to Hashem as a tefillah of the anguish of our heart, of the Yilala and the Yababa, and that we're crying out to Hashem. And it comes through the hearing, but it gets reflected in that as well. And apparently it's in the central part of the mitzvah. And once again, in shofaros, the transformation takes place from shofar being, from trua being something we're listening to finally, in the last minute, in the last pasuk, it's a trua that we reflect back to Hashem, that we daven through with, and that Hashem listens to the rachamim. Kata shomea kol shofar. Brachat Hashem shomea kol churasim v'yisrael berachamim. And it's essential to the mitzvah as well. You know, it's hard. The Rishonim have a hard time with this last pasuk, as I mentioned, because it doesn't say shofar, it doesn't say trua. The Ramban even suggested the adding the pasuk beforehand, and the Rav even did that, and the other Rishonim give different answers. But with all the answers, why did they pick this pasuk, such a difficult pasuk? The answer is because it's only this pasuk that expresses so clearly the notion that Hashem is listening to us, blow the shofar. This idea has to be mentioned and introduces the chasima of Ki Ata Shomea Kol Shofar Umazin Shurua Vindol Melach Ruchat Hashem Shomea Kol Shurua Samo Yisrael Berachamim. Hashem listens to our Shurua. Just as in a certain way by the Brach of Avarabba that we once talked about, the notion of Bechiras Yisrael gets mentioned only at the end of the bracha, explicitly, and then takes over Brachat Hashem HaBocher B'Amo Yisrael B'Yahava. Sometimes brachos develop to a point where the finale of the bracha expresses only the last idea, which becomes the most crucial point. Brachat Hashem Zocher HaBris. Brachat Hashem, Shmea Kol Churas, Amo Yisrael Berachamin. Brachat Hashem, Melech HaKol Aretz, B'Kadesh Yisrael, V'Yom HaZikaron. Not the Shemayim V'Aretz, the Aretz, where there are people, and where the Kedushas Yisrael is expressed. Okay, that's what I wanted to tell you all. Thanks for listening. Those of you who listened on the tape now, thanks for on the Those of you who listen to me say it, I appreciate you listening. And those of you who listen afterwards on the tape, I appreciate that as well. And Hashem should Yimvarech all of you and all of us. Vishnu Tavam Suka and Khsiva Khsima Tava. And we should have us and all the Torah educators and all of our families and all of JLI's staff and their families and all of the OU staff and our families and all of our Talmidim and all of their families. B'zoch, I'm Hashem, I'm Yisrael. So B'zoch, Shana Tavam Suka, Siva Sima Tavam. I'm going to stay online now, like 2-3 minutes, in case someone wants to ask a question either on what I said or on something else. Then we'll stop. So you can, if you want to, you can hang up if you want, or if you want to hear the questions, just, or if you want to ask a question, just unmute yourselves and I'm on. Okay.
So I have a question. Shlomo Geller, I have a question.